What's up, people? Welcome to Changing the Conversation, presented by The Athlete's Corner. We are your hosts. I'm Kalena. Brennan is with me. And today's guest is a two-time NBA All-Star, Team USA Olympic gold medalist, current GM of the Westchester Knicks. He's a husband and a father. Allen Houston is joining us today. Thank you so much, man, for taking the time. Let's jump right into the conversation.
All right. What is your favorite scripture and why?
My favorite scripture probably is Romans 8:28. All things work for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. I think that's an overall foundational scripture that just speaks to purpose. It speaks to perspective and purpose kind of running together. It speaks to knowing, your identity, identity in Christ. And knowing that you're called. At the end of all this, you think about what your calling is, and everything is kind of pointing towards that. And then it also speaks to loving God. You know, that's one of his first commandments. It's just to love the Lord. And that's why he gave us life. So he loved us that much to give us life. So in order for us to really find fulfillment, Christ gives us the capacity to love him back in a way that we could never do the way he loves us. But when all those things kind of come together, you can take times like this, whether it's the COVID or all this social, injustice, and you can think it's still working together for my good and our good. And that's a perspective that we need every day.
It really is. It's real.
True. And then would you mind sharing an experience where your faith has played a role in your career or outside your career, either on or off the court?
I think there are times when in all of our careers, you face this uncertainty of what's going to happen, whether it's on your team. I know for me, one of the biggest tests probably was my injury towards the end of my career, when you don't know what's going to happen. You know, Colleen, I think we talked about this before and you went through this. It's like, what does this really mean? You gave me this passion. You gave me this gift. You gave me this body, gave me this talent. And now it seems like I can't do it the way my mind and my spirit want to do it. So how do you deal with that? And then again, goes back to Romans 8:28. At the end of the day, it's still a gift that I was able to do. And if it means I have to transition. But during that process, I think in any injury, I remember I had my second year in New York. I had I got a 2-inch scar on my shooting wrist. And I still don't have the same flexibility in my shooting wrist. And nobody really knew that, not only was that was my biggest strength, but I lost range of motion in my shooting wrist. And that was scary, man. How your biggest weapon is kind of taken from you. You don't know how it's ever going to come back. You got torn ligaments in it. So that was a scary moment for me, but you know what? You put the work in and your body and your mind and your spirit, they recover. Right. Mm-hmm. And, I think in my personal life, my wife and I have been through some ups and downs, and God has just amazingly, by his grace, just gotten us through a lot. My daughter had, when she was 10 months old, she had heart surgery. I remember sending out this email blast to a friend of mine who owns this kind of, gospel hip hop network. And man, I must have got thousands of emails back just saying, we're praying for you and your daughter. And I was just in the surgery room, in the waiting room, there was just this peace. And it's almost like I couldn't even allow myself, I wasn't allowed deep down to think about the negative consequences of what could happen. It was just, it just didn't get in there, right? And so, even today, she's at higher risk, but we just, so, Lord, we do everything we can do, be mindful, take all the necessary protocols, and God is sovereign. So I think having that peace that surpasses all understanding is something that you really have to be reminded of every day.
Yeah, that definitely speaks to a lot of people. I know with injuries, when you're going so well in your sport and you're hit with that injury and the question of your identity comes into play and the uncertainty and all those different things, it's not easy. It's not easy. Yeah. A lot of athletes struggle with that. So that's really cool. And also obviously when something happens with your family, I mean, that's as big as it gets. And just being able to have that peace through that time is kind of an advantage we have being in the Lord, knowing once something like that happens, God's going to walk through it with us and give us that peace. So that's big time right there. So how does your faith play a role in your life on a daily basis?
Well, it's it carries first of all, it sets my perspective, right? I think life is truly about perspective. It's the way you perceive the world, your place in the world, and your role in it. And so when you start with this perspective that in Christ, God has given us this perspective that we're chosen, we're called, we're part of this royal priesthood and holy family, that he's given us an assignment. And I feel like when you start with that opening perspective, then it just kind of, it really transforms the way you see things, the way you operate, the way you your language, and you have to, and then you put it in practice. So when the Bible talks about faith without works is dead, obviously we can have a certain belief pattern, a belief system, but you know, like that, like our guy Lanny Smith, active faith, right? If it's not active, right, then what are you really doing? So, it's like training. I believe we have to understand that our spirit and our inner man needs training the same way our outer person needs it, and devotion. You know, get up, get in the Word. Because the Holy Spirit will do things and remind you. Like I said in John, the Holy Spirit was here. He left the Holy Spirit to remind us of all the things that Jesus said. And we need that reminder. We need that comforter. We need that guidance in times as a father, right? As a leader, there are times when you don't know what to do, what to say in that moment. And if you don't engage your spiritual self, then that spiritual self is going to kind of lay dormant. And so, you know, this time in the last 4 months has allowed me to get closer to God, spend more time, prioritize my time. We now, even after school was out, my wife had a nice little camp schedule. So we get up at 8:30 every morning and I do a devotional with the kids. And I just pick a scripture and we do go for about 10 minutes. Let them all kind of read their scripture, talk about it, pray it out, and it just gets the day started even before they have breakfast. And so it has to be, faith has to be exercised, right? It's like any part of our system. And once it's exercised, not to say you won't go through things, but when your faith, that faith muscle grows, you know, it just gives you that peace that we just talked about. So it's a training. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, I love that for sure. I know there's going to be a lot of people who watch this that obviously don't know you super well. So if you wouldn't mind sharing, I would love to know, how did you come to know the Lord?
Growing up in Louisville, Kentucky, my father was an assistant coach at the University of Louisville, and when they had some really good runs in the 80s, I know Kalina don't like to hear that, but
I'll hold it against you.
Yeah, it was way before your time, so yeah, it was back then. But growing up in Louisville, you know, it's kind of a cultural thing where faith is just kind of, it was kind of part of our pattern. We have a lineage and heritage of faith. My grandparents were all people of faith. So, you know, we went to church on most Sundays. You know, there were times when obviously you're playing, and my dad, you know, had things, and but for the most part, that was part of our routine. And when I was about between my freshman and sophomore year in high school, I literally felt this call. Like, I just felt like, you know, in the Baptist church, you know, at the end of the sermon, you know, the pastor says, all right, well, come on up if you want to, if you have anything to say, you want to give your life to the Lord, you want to come up and be forgiven of your sins and become a Christian, doors of the church are open, blah, blah, blah. You had to come up and confess. And so when I was at that time, it really confirmed my confession, because I believed if I didn't go up there, then it wasn't going to be a real, true confession. And we know that there's a transformation in your heart if you believe, you know, but, you know, the Romans 10:9 said, if you confess with your mouth, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead and you confess it. So I went up and I just felt this calling. And it was almost like the Lord was like, all right, this is a time where you actually are going to have to make a real decision to follow me. And I knew that I had been given, you know, a talent and a gift, and I started to get some attention. And it was the time where God really needed me. Now, so I came up and I gave my life to the Lord. But for the next 5 or 10 years, you know, I was a believer, but I wasn't really discipled. And so I just went through kind of a hot, cold relationship, you know, kind of on the fence type thing. Wasn't really sold out for the Lord. And I kind of liken it to the parallel of being on the team, but not really, you know, getting playing time or not really knowing the plays and, you know, and all that. So when I got to New York, fast forward a few years, got drafted, went to Tennessee, played 4 years. And every place I went, I would have someone that God would send to just remind me, you know, it was a guy on a track team, invited me to Bible studies. And I was like, oh, you know, hot and cold. In Detroit, same thing. He sent me a couple of players, David Wood and other players, just kind of remind me. And I got to New York, I signed with the Knicks as a free agent. And that was when it was just like, no, this is the time. And Charlie Ward, one of my best friends, Heisman Trophy winner, you know, strong believer, discipled me. I had a cousin who just happened to move to New York. He just walked me through the scriptures. And that's really when I think I became so enthralled with the word and who Jesus really is and was. And so that was my first year in New York. And, you know, you still go through your battles, your ups and downs, just got married. But it was really when someone could walk me through the scriptures. So this is what the word really means. How it can apply to your life right now. And I think that's really where I'm a huge proponent of youth discipleship. And discipleship in general, because that's really what it changed everything for me.
That's pretty cool. I always love hearing about how people came to the Lord, because everybody has their own unique testimony. And for me, it was an early age, the age of understanding, basically. But kind of like you were saying, it didn't really become real to me till later in life. For me, it was high school, and then my friends, I was blessed to have accountability partners, and my family, my parents were strong in their faith, and they taught me. So I love hearing that. So transition over to your family. What is your favorite activity to do with your family?
My favorite activity to do with my family, you name it. I mean, we've been doing so many things right now, from, you know, fortunately, we have a lot of room outside our house, swimming. You're really just hanging out with them and doing anything. You know, having 7 children, I have to be available and present at any moment, right? So yeah. It's like the biggest challenge for me is saying, okay, if my 15-year-old daughter is like down, you know, she's shooting on the court, like I don't want to miss an opportunity to be there with her if that's a way we can connect. Whereas, you know, if my son, who's a sophomore in college, he's just sitting at the table, just sitting having a conversation with him is valuable. So for me, it's really whatever they like to do at the time or passionate about doing. You know, we haven't ridden bikes as much as we have in the last 3 months ever. You know, so just that, you know, just playing, you know, board games, just really anything.
What's the favorite family board game?
Right now we're on this thing called Dizio's. It's a game like, it's like a dominoes type game. You have these tiles and you kind of fit them together according to the numbers on the tile. So it's like a dominoes board game.
Gotcha.
It's a fun game, you know. Yeah, it's such a blessing, man. You know, so my youngest is 8. He's the youngest. He's like the prince, you know, because he has 4 sisters above him. Then my son, who's in college, and then my oldest, who's going into her senior year. So there's so many different dynamics between one girl plays soccer, one plays tennis. One I'm trying to get in the track, and the other one's high jumper. So for me, it's I'll find myself always literally using sports analogies with a scripture or just life. And recently it's been good talking about some really deep issues around social injustice, around, you know, gender, all these discussions that are coming up. We just haven't had time to sit and talk about them in depth, but now this gives us a chance to do that.
Right. And how much tougher was it to get that quality time when you were playing? Obviously, you got less time on your hands. So,
when I was playing, they were younger. So when I finished playing, my oldest two were 3-4 years old. So they don't remember much. And then I went through this transition of trying to figure out what I was going to do, what God wanted me to do. And that was, you know, tricky because, you know, then I'm retired. And then you literally have 5 more kids after you retire. So that was a real transition for me. And this, so now my youngest is 8, my oldest is 21. So now this is a really cool part of my life. But the biggest transition for me was probably not as much when I was playing, because, you know, you got 2 young ones and you're just focused and there's only so much you can really do with them. And the time that you have with them is precious and valuable. But when I finish playing, now you can see them grow. Now you can try to see them develop. And so balancing that with still working in the, you know, with the Knicks, traveling, that was challenging because, you know, when you're in the front office, you can't just say, all right, just 1 o'clock, I'm done practice, I'm gonna go home. You know, you're scouting, you're at games, watching games, it was almost more challenging. It's almost could have been more challenging in that role than when I was playing. But at the end of the day, you know, an incredible wife, as you can imagine. She is incredibly strong, thoughtful, got her master's in education. So she had a background of just youth development. That's why youth are so passionate for us. So she kind of was able to have a really strong foundation for not only our marriage, but for how to create an environment that was helpful, that I could just, I would say, help her manage, you know? And so that was very helpful.
Speaking of your wife, I would love to know, what do you do to strengthen your relationship with her? What do you do to strengthen your marriage?
Well, the first thing, you just got to remain best friends. You know, it sounds pretty simple and all that and cachet, but I encourage a lot of young people that, you know, when you can marry your best friend, you got to get in a relationship and truly be friends, because there's conversations that you're going to have, and you're going to have intimacy. You're going to have these moments where you don't really like each other and really, you know, find a way to connect and really respect their perspective, respect their space, respect them, and just have that authentic relationship. That's the first thing. Then you can kind of figure out, okay, well, you want to do this? What do you want to do? Not about me. It's about, okay, do you want to do this? Fine. What do you want to do? What do you want to eat? And where you want to go? Which movie you want to watch? You know, but I find now that, you know, prayer is powerful. You know, praying together is one of the most important things that couples can do. We find ourselves now really, like when we were young, we're going on 24 years. And when we were younger in our marriage, you know, we didn't want to just pick up the Bible and start just talking about scriptures together. You know, it wasn't like a strong appetite.
That wasn't the go-to, right?
That wasn't the thing, you know. But now it's like, as you see things you go through, and it's like, that's what we actually look forward to. You know, a lot of couples, they spend a lot of time with the kids, and they kind of forget to make sure that relationship actually is the most important relationship. Most important relationship is a worship between you and your wife, because your kids are gonna be gone. You know, if you think about it, you get them by the time they're 15, 16, they have their own thought process. Now they're going into college, you know, and they're adults, and now you can just give them advice and wisdom. You're not gonna change their whole belief system pattern, right? So the way you do when they're younger. So anyway, I think we just, you know, find, you know, you just got to find ways to stay connected. You got to, it's got to be something you really intentionalize, right? That's the thing. It's not going to just happen. I think that's the thing that we found, is don't wait for that to happen. You got to put that work in.
That's cool. You already touched on this a little bit. You talked about using scripture to talk to your children about things. And I'm sure Brandon can use this, because he just had a new, beautiful baby girl.
Congrats, man.
But yeah, yeah. What are some...
No sleep right now, though.
Yeah. You're getting something later.
There you go. How do you encourage your 7 children to have a relationship with the Lord?
You have to keep, you know, technology. Now you can send them scriptures. I think this has shown me, this whole, you know, COVID has shown me that you have to make it part of the system. When you have food on the table, guess what? Everybody's going to eat. You don't have to say, hey guys, I think you need to go eat. Right. So it almost has to be part of, you have to figure how to work it into a routine, something they expect. At every day, even if it's all right, I'm going to send you this scripture this morning, this time, and we're going to, and I still, you know, struggle with that with my older ones, but it has to become part of the conversation. It has to become part of a daily or a frequent conversation. And I found that it was intimidating, even though, you know, I needed to do it. It was intimidating because I just didn't know the word. I just didn't know the word enough to say, let's talk about this scripture and what it means, you know. But that's, again, goes back to why it's important to have accountability groups, like you said, a group that you can learn from. So when you glean from someone else, then you can kind of pour that into your kids. So I believe that's one of the most important things in today's world, because we're living in a world of, you know, we have been, but this new age philosophy, thoughts, and they're contradicting the true word of God. So if you don't really have a system, a group that you can really have an authentic knowledge of certain things of God that you can impart to your kids, it's going to be a struggle, because they're going to go out in their circles, schools, teams, and they're going to hear contradicting philosophies and beliefs. So it does have to be part of some type of intentional, consistent conversation.
Great. That's real. That's it, man. That's all we had. That's, you said a lot of great things in there, man. Incredible nuggets.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
That's it for Changing the Conversation, episode 2. Thanks again, Alan, for taking the time, man. We appreciate it. Thank you all for listening. Bye, everybody.